I also read that when the city planners were planning New York City originally back in the day, you know, they made room for growth. So they expanded the city out to 19th Street, thinking, well, if it ever grows, it'll never grow any more than that, 19th Street. Well, you know the rest of the story. It's what, hundreds of streets now. But, you know, they didn't envision the growth that they might have in this great city. We need to ask God to give us a vision, and I'm praying that this church, as I said this morning, will not lose its vision. Okay, you got your Bible open. Let's turn to some verses to introduce the message. What's ahead for the Sluices? And I did, as I said, I preached this Mother's Day evening, but it was a holiday like today, holiday weekend, and some people couldn't make it. And I thought, well, I'll preach it again for those that didn't make it or couldn't make it. And then just kind of an update, because that's been a few months ago. So that's the reason I want to revisit this message this evening. I want to start with Romans 11. I'm going to read some verses, and then I'll give you my message. It'll be brief this afternoon. You know, last time we had an afternoon service, I said, okay, it's nap time. And I laughed, and Pastor Joel was preaching, and I, after the song service, sat down over there by Ellen, and I was tuned into the chapter in Esther that he was preaching on, and I was getting such a blessing, and I was right with him. I was alert, I was awake, and all of a sudden I went like that. I guess I had dozed off, unknowing to me. So I understand what you're going through right now. I've been there. And if I see you go like that, at least I didn't raise my eye. I didn't shout. But I had a really quick awakening. Okay. So Romans chapter 11, verse 29. The Bible says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And God has called me to preach when I was a freshman in college, as I said. I think I've said recently. Reading the book of Isaiah, I'd planned to study law, pre-law, and become maybe a lawyer. That's what I thought would be something that I would like to do. So, but as I was reading the book of Isaiah, chapter by chapter, God got a hold of my heart at that semester. I went home Thanksgiving break, and as I said this morning, Evangelist Glenn Shunk was holding a meeting in our church. I hit the altar as the invitation was given, and I told him I felt God was calling me to preach. He said, "Young man, you need to go to Bob Jones University." He stuck an application in front of my nose. I said, "Okay." I hadn't thought much about where I should go to prepare, but I thought if that preacher thought that'd be a good place to go, that's where I went. And I'm glad I did. There were other good schools, Pillsbury and others, but that's where the Lord sent me. And I prepared to preach. But so he called me to preach. I answered the call. I've never regretted it, never looked back. I've been so blessed by the privilege of being able to preach and pastor. And I didn't intend to be a pastor. I intended to be an evangelist like Glenn Chunk. Man, going from church to church, having people saved, leaving the problems behind for the pastor. I thought that would be the best life. But the Lord said, "You need to be a pastor." And so he opened up a door in Wichita, Kansas, and I was there for 6 or 7 years, and then Newton, Kansas, and then out here. But it's been a blessing. But, you know, because I'm stepping out of the senior pastor, it doesn't mean that I'm acknowledging that God has taken his call off my life. His calling is without repentance. He's called me to, and as long as I can preach, as long as I have the faculties with which to preach, and if I have an invitation, then that's what I want to do. In fact, 2 Timothy 4:2 is my next passage, and I read this every Sunday morning, no matter whether wherever I'm going to preach. I preach here most every Sunday, but I've always read this passage. I've read the fourth chapter, and right there in the first part of the fourth, preach the word. This is what Paul charged Timothy with: preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's my charge. That's my commission. I'm supposed to preach the word. I've got a call to preach it. I've had the privilege of having wonderful teachers, pastors in my past, my history, that I could never thank God enough for, godly parents and good local churches. So my job is just to preach the word as long as I'm able to preach, to exhort, that is to encourage, reprove, yes, sometimes we need to do that, and rebuke, absolutely, and then teach doctrine with all long-suffering. So that's the job I've got ahead of me, still, even though I'm almost 77, and not going to be senior pastor, but this has not changed. Thirdly, 2 Timothy 4:5, watch thou in all things. Alluded to that verse this morning. Timothy, watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So my ministry is not ended, or it's not ending. I still want to make full proof of it. And though I may not be senior pastor, I want to do the work of an evangelist. I want to see if I can get people saved and get them grounded in the word. And so that's part of my commission. I want to do that. Then turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you could quote it, but we'll read it together. Be steadfast, therefore, unmovable. Verse 57. Be steadfast, unmovable. That's not verse 57. We'll start for 57. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I want to do that. I want to be steadfast. I don't want to wither away, wilt away, walk away. I want to work away for Jesus. I want to be unmovable on the convictions that he's given from the word of God, lovable but yet unmovable, and I want to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, whether it's here in this pulpit or somewhere else. I'll talk about that in just a minute. And then Ephesians 3:21, one of my favorite verses. Ephesians 3:21. If there was a verse that I would have to pick out, this would be right at the top of the list, although there's others too, so it has. But anyway, verse 20 to start with, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And by the way, he's done that. I have not had a glamorous ministry, but I've had a glorious ministry. It's been a ministry of the Word of God. Not glamorous, and shouldn't look for that. But, oh, it's so glorious to see lives change, to see people's eyes open up to truth, to have the privilege of expounding the Word of God, to help birth a soul into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, what a glory. And, by the way, it's not limited to preachers, pastors. You can do the same. But it's been a wonderful, because he is able to do exceeding abundantly. Well, I would never have dreamed of asking him. When I was in college, Bible college, my pastor in southeast Iowa pastored that church for 10 years, and I thought that was an eternity for somebody to pastor a church 10 years. When I was in seminary, I had a wonderful godly pastor that had came from the Detroit area that had pastored it wasn't the Inner City Baptist Church, but it was a church in the Detroit area. He'd pastored that church for 18 years, and I couldn't fathom that. How could you stay in one church for 18 years? Well, I've been here 40, and I never have dreamed or imagined that God would allow me to stay in one church 40 years. Now, I've been invited to leave a couple times, but I have not accepted the invitation. God never gave it to me, but other people had, and I said, no, I don't believe the Lord's told me that, so I'm just going to stay a while longer, and so that's why I've been here 40 years. But anyway, one more verse, Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, and I confess, I'm in the category, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And I want to be those things. I want to be sober, not given to silliness in my old age. Grave, that means not with one foot in, but just with a grave temperance, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So my message is, as I said, would be brief. Retire? No, I'm not going to. I'm not retired. I'm just changing hats, so to speak. I'll be the pastor emeritus is what they're going to call me. And I, by the way, I'm going to have an office, not in the office area, but right out in the room right outside these double doors, the first Sunday school room where the first graders have met for years, but we've combined first and second. So I'm in the process of moving the office I've had for 20 years over here. So I have an office, but I'm not going to keep regular office hours. I'm going to slip in this side door and out whenever I need to, and I'll study and work and write and whatever I'm doing. And the church has been very gracious. Pastor Joel has been very gracious to allow me that privilege to be still affiliated with. Concerning retirement, there are two schools of thoughts, and I've heard both of them more than I care to hear, both of them, from pastor friends that have been this way ahead of me. And they said, now, when you retire, when you step down from being senior pastor, you need to just move out of town. Just go to another state. Go far away. And, you know, they've had reason to say that because it's hard to be around. You don't want to be in the way of the succeeding pastor. You don't want to get in his way. And you might be a hindrance and not a help. And so then the other school is it's okay to stay around. And nobody teaches that, but I've seen that by example. I've seen wonderful pastor friends of mine that have stayed in the area, that have stayed in the church, and have been a real blessing to the succeeding, their successor. So I chose to go the latter. If it works out, time will tell. When I preached this sermon Mother's Day, there was something that I never could have dreamed of that happened. And that is Ellen had a gallbladder attack. And she had pain, but it was pain that drove her to the hospital, to emergency, and they checked her out, and they said, yeah, you need gallbladder surgery. They did, and in the surgery, the surgeon said he saw tissue that looked abnormal. He sent it up to Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic confirmed there was cancer there, and so they sewed her up and sent her home, and the doctor met with her a week later and said, you have cancer. You had cancer in your gallbladder. We've got to do further tests. We've got to do another surgery to see if it spread. And so they put her on the calendar. And we just got word last week that it had not spread. Lymph nodes were clear. Her liver was clear of cancer. There's kind of what they call a stump coming off her gallbladder that is really a danger place. If there was liver cancer in that, that would be bad news. And she has done some research I didn't about gallbladder cancer, and it's not pretty. Usually by the time they discover it, it's way too late and it's spread. But hers hadn't. We praise the Lord for that. But I knew none of that when I preached this in May. And so I wondered, boy, I was sharing with the people what my plans are and anticipations and hopes and dreams and desires. I'm not sure I said, if the Lord wills. And I want to make sure I say that today. If the Lord wills, I will do thus and so. I'm not sure I said it May the 12th. I hope I did. But I can't say for sure. But the Lord was willing to inject this bump in the road, or whatever you call it, into our big plan. And we're okay with that. We've never been distressed, never worried through the weeks when she was waiting for the surgery and the 10 days after the surgery that we waited for the report. It's never been something that she or I or our family has been over-concerned with. We know it was in the Lord's hands. Whatever his will would be, that would be okay with us. But we're certainly glad that there was no cancer. So I'm going to step back. I'm going to be Pastor Emeritus when I'm not out preaching, and it's going to be that way for a while because Ellen can't travel with me. If it's local, I can go out and fill pulpits, but I'll be sitting over here somewhere saying an amen once in a while. Pastor Joel will be my pastor. Pastor Jeremy, assistant pastor. I'll be privileged and honored to be a part of this church and to be kind of low-key. I don't want anybody to think that I'm staying around to see how things are going. Don't come to me if you have a difference with the pastor. I'm going to side with him. And so because I have been in his shoes and I want to support him every way that I can, 100%. He's my pastor as of next Sunday midnight. He is my pastor. So I want to be his, if I could use the word, cheerleader, encourager, exhorter. And I want you to be the same. So I want to thank the church who, upon the recommendation of the deacons, told us that we could continue to live in the parsonage. We've been there a long time, and they said, you stay there as long as you want, as long as you wish, and that's a great blessing. Ellen is in no shape to move and didn't want to anyway, so it'll be a great blessing that we can still live there as long as the Lord leads us to. I have submitted my name, and we have applied to Gospel Fellowship Association. It's a mission board that's located in Greenville, South Carolina. And they have missionaries all around the world. We've had some of their missionaries, not too many, because I'm not familiar with Amazon, with Baptist World. But they're a good board, good solid sound board. But they have a ministry where they place interim pastors into churches that are without a pastor. They're in between a regular full-time pastor has resigned, and they're now without a pastor. They're waiting, looking for one, taking every. So they put interim pastors in churches, and my name is in that pool of possible interim pastors. So when Ellen gets able to travel, she doesn't want to move. And so if there's a church that I can drive to, 2 or 3 hour drive, on Friday, come back Monday, and be an interim pastor for short term, not long term. You have to agree with GFA that you will not become the pastor of that church if you accept a call to be interim pastor. That's just an ethical thing you do. I'm not going to come here to eventually be your pastor, so don't give me a call. I wouldn't accept it anyway, I don't think. But I've agreed to that arrangement, so I know I won't accept the church as a pastor. It'd just be an interim pastor, so my membership will remain here. I'll be here when I'm not out preaching, and that's our plan, to be an interim pastor or just fill pulpits, whichever the Lord opens up. That's what we're wanting to do, and if not, just to be here and to do whatever. If I can be a backup teacher, if Pastor Joel needs one, whatever. And I don't anticipate he's going to need me, but if I am needed, I'll be here to serve him, to serve the Lord, and serve him, and to serve you. Okay, that's kind of my brief message today. I want to just say that I'm excited. I've never looked back and had second thoughts. I wonder if I should have, maybe should have stayed on a year or two. That's never been in my thinking. I know this is the right time. I knew a year ago I didn't think it would have been, but the Lord's worked the timing out, and he knew what our needs would be, and we're just happy. We've got grandkids close and kids, and we've got a wonderful family of people that we love that we can continue to still be friends with. So pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and I just want to stress one more time that I could not be more excited about the Lord's brought Pastor Joel here 8 years ago. And, I know him well. I know he's as solid as rock. He's got a good head on him. He's theologically sound. He loves the word. He loves the ministry. I think Pastor Jeremy's of the same piece of cloth, so to speak, and they have wonderful wives. I don't know Stephanie as well as I do Sarah, of course, but Sarah is I think a great pastor's wife, and is very talented, loves people, and you folks are blessed, I believe, to have that kind of a team. They're not perfect. You'll see things different than you saw in me, and that's good. That's what it's supposed to be. But I think they're some of the best that you could ever find out there today. And by the way, there's a shrinking pool of pastors. The men are deconverting, but if they're not deconverting, then they're getting out of the ministry big time, a lot of them. or they're not going into the ministry. And I'm not just, that's just an alarming thing, but it's what people in Bible schools, Dr. McAllister, he's going to be here in the city a week from Tuesday to speak to a group of pastors, and that's going to be his subject matter. The shrinking number of pastors. When I was a student, a freshman at Bob Jones, we had 1,000 men in our ministerial class studying to be pastors, preachers, evangelists, Christian servants. They don't even have such a class there anymore. They've got a class of a few people, men and women, who are in ministry. And I'm not reflecting poorly on Bob Jones. That's the way it is across the board. Many of those schools, like Tennessee Temple and others, have closed completely, not training pastors at all. They're history. And the devil's got his guns aimed at Bob Jones and other, Maranatha, I'm sure, other Bible colleges, good schools. Pillsbury's closed. That's the school my pastor wanted me to go to when I was contemplating going to study for ministry. But it was a good school, great school. Dr. Parker, whom we love and had here many times, was president of Pillsbury. 1957 to 1964, I would have been one of his students, and I would have learned much from him. But now it's closed. It's kind of an alarming thing, but it's the landscape that we're living in today. Things have changed so much. I'm not going to give an invitation. We're going to go out in the fellowship hall in a minute and enjoy some good treats, some ice cream. Shelley's going to leave and go out there, and I want Jerry and Marcia, will you go out and help her just set stuff out? And maybe Bob and Kathy. Just set some ice cream out. It won't take a minute. We're not going to have a meal. We don't even have any cookies on the agenda, but we do have some ice cream with some good toppings. So we give these people time to get it out of the freezer on the table, and then we will all join them. By the way, it would be appropriate maybe. Anybody have a question over anything I've said? I'll try to answer it. Okay, wonderful. All right. So next Sunday is my farewell sermon. Somebody said that they thought this was the last sermon. No, next Sunday morning I have the privilege of preaching my farewell swan song sermon. So please come and share my last message with you. Well, those people are really slow getting out of the foyer. I'm trying to give them a little time. You know, they met Roy out there, and Roy's got something to say to him. Yeah, I'll tell you, okay. Ooh, I got Roy's attention. I better shut up, and let's pray, and then kind of take your time getting out there, will you please? Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for this great church, for its history, for its future, Lord. Thank you for bringing Pastor Jeremy and Stephanie here in your timing. And we just acknowledge it's from you, as you did with Pastor Joel and Sarah. And I pray that you would just help our church to really get behind these young men. Give them our full support. To volunteer. I pray that we would not make them run us down to find us in order to do a job. Help us to be quick to volunteer. And I'm talking about all of us, the people of this church. Bless our fellowship. To follow today, give us safety no matter what we're due tomorrow on this holiday weekend. Keep us safe and in your care. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.